Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
It's nearly official, I mean, autumn. Well, so what's going on out there?
Yes, stuff is going on. But it doesn't seem like a big rush to me like some years, so that I've appreciated that. I don't feel like it's going to be over before I really have recognized.
Always goes by way too fast.
Yeah. So a few things that I've been noticing. One is that there's still a lot of, you know, bird migration activity, early stuff even. A lot of flickers still around. Lots of sharpshinned. We've had three up to four sharpshinned young ones hanging around our yard, pestering the blue jays, trying their darndest to do what they're trying to do, which is feed themselves. As far as we know, they haven't been successful with the blue jays because the blue jays seem to take it more as an opportunity to just goof off, you know, and goof around. They keep the area of activity kind of tight. So that really plays to their strengths versus the sharpshin's strengths as a sneak up on you fast flying, you know, predator. But it's been just really fun to be able to see them so often and see them so close up and that interactive thing has been really fun. And then the interactions among the sharpies, because they don't always just ignore each other. They sometimes will kind of chase each other. And so, you know, regardless of whether they're successful, you know, we've talked about in our conversation at home about, well, gosh, you know, it seems like they're putting a lot of energy into this and they're not getting much out of it that we can see or have noticed anyway. And that's true. But I also think, well, all this hones their skills.
Right.
So pays off probably with other birds who aren't as savvy and as aware of what is going on as the jays are and who aren't familiar with the area right around our place. So these are jays who've lived there, grown up there. They may be young, but they've been living there since they became aware of their world. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they have some assets in their toolbox of knowledge that birds coming through who live there don't have. So maybe it's paying off for the sharp-shinned hawks in other realms of attacks. But anyway, so that's been very fun. Thrushes, oh my gosh, just a lot of thrushes now coming through, and where I hear them calling, not singing, but calling. But mostly I see them just at dusk, just after it's gotten dark enough for you to have your lights on. And they're all staging for going off for the night in their flight to parts unknown. And they're often lined up, not right close together, but many birds along the sides of the roads. So they're really vulnerable to collisions with vehicles because you're coming along at much higher speed than they would go taking off. And they seem to be particularly drawn to the lights and frozen, at least temporarily, by the bright headlights. And then when they do fly, then they can fly right into. So, at, you know, once it's dark, then they usually are gone, in my experience.
So they are migrating at night.
Yeah, so most of our songbirds migrate at night, the vast majority. I mean, huge, other than these, like, hawks that we've been talking about. But a lot of birds, the songbirds, are almost all migrating at night because they need to feed to fuel their migration during the day on whatever they can find. And then once it gets dark, then they take off and form these, you know, flights of birds that are seen on radar even through the night. So thrushes are, along with lots of other birds, are out there. I've seen warblers still, like red starts and yellow rumps, still coming through migrating. We haven't seen any hummingbirds now at our place for a while. Have you?
It's probably been about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Probably that's similar to us. So at least in our place, which is inland, there they seem to have, the locals are gone. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll still get a few
coming through,
happenstance through, you know, who happen to find us, but I'm not expecting a lot of that. Lots of, you know, drying, I would say, still going on. Lots of plants drying down who maybe got touched by some light frost. The color is changing, but again, not at high speed.
Slow.
We're not having really cold nights like regular frost yet, so that tends to kind of slow things down. And if we don't, that will have some impact, as we've talked about before, on what sort of color show we get. Mm-hmm. But, oh, there's some beautiful understory in particular out there right now in places with the moose maple, that mountain maple, that's really starting to change in a lot of places, and that's quite lovely. And lots of our other herbaceous plants are turning everything from red to purples to yellows. And I feel like this is that time I think of when the season of green really begins to shift. What I think of as this really distinct aspect of light in the autumn comes into play in the forest. So it's still mostly green. I mean, if you had to pick a color that's dominant, it's still green, but it's that shift in the green so that there's not quite as dark a green. It's a little bit yellow. And then you have all these other lighter colors, the golds and the yellows coming in at whatever level that give it this kind of luminous quality, even if you're in what is the deep shade, right, where it's typically would just be dark. Now, oh no, there's all these little highlights. And even the green in places has more of a like a luminous quality to it because it's not such a deep green anymore. So it's a wonderful time of year. And we've certainly had a lot of beautiful weather lately to be out and enjoy it in.
Indeed. Chell Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for talking to us about this autumn season.
You're welcome.